You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
It's almost over. 2016, almost done.
This dumpster fire of a year just needs to be forgotten.
You know what? You know what it's time for? Yes.
Yes.
Time for that. But also, it's time for... Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. Best and worst of 2016. Hello, folks. I'm Richard.
I'm Gene.
And yeah, we're just going to go over what's happened in wrestling this year. You know, it's been a weird year, because for so long, I think as wrestling fans, our big complaint was there wasn't enough broadcast wrestling. And now, oh dear God, it's impossible to keep up with. It just cannot be done. And I know that's kind of a side effect of the internet, but let's point at the real criminal here, the WWE.
Oh dear God. Monday Night Raw, Tuesday night SmackDown and 205 Live, Wednesday night NXT, that's not counting Talking Smack and Raw Talk.
Or Main Event, which actually, weirdly, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think there's a pure wrestling show for the main roster, just the main roster. Main Event's actually the best thing they've got, because it's just people going out and having matches, there's no angles, and every time I've been to a house show in the past few years, I've gone, this is really good. And then the actual main show starts, and you're like, well, this is the rest of it, isn't it? And there's too much plot. And yeah, it's like, once in a while, I just want to see people hitting each other.
I think WWE, one of the things that's killing me is the stupid comedy angles. When it gets to the point where even the kids are booing it.
Yeah.
Even the little kids, they want to just see fights. So, I don't know. The right.
I was saying Bautista.
I just feel it starts at the top. Until Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon are out of there, we're going to be inundated with even more of this. Because if you look at what Triple H is doing with NXT, you're rarely seeing the stupid comedy angles.
Yeah.
Every now and then they might pop up, but they're very few and far between.
Okay, let's go by, straight to the best and worst on this. Best wrestling show on broadcast at the moment. Go.
Best weekly show?
Best weekly show.
I'm going to catch so much hell for this.
Are you going to say Lucha Underground? I can see it in your face.
No. 2 years ago, I would have said Lucha Underground. I can't call... This season has been a bit of a...
Bugger's Muddle?
Yeah. Nothing will ever top that first season. I'm going to go out on a limb and say TNA.
Well, they did, you know, they had so little money that they had to pare back, and then when they go all out, let's be honest, it's because you've got the Hardys going, oh, let's just go to our place and be insane.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I'm going to have to say it's a three-way tie between that, the Ring of Honor, which just has, the production values have... They finally put some money into it, and Sinclair was being a bit stingy for a while, but shows have been looking far, far better.
Well, I think the other thing is, like, the technology is there now that you don't have to put more money in to make it look better.
Exactly.
You just have to buy newer equipment. You actually have to go, we're going to put the investment in. No, I mean, it looks really good. I mean, that's one of the things Jim Cornette complained about for years, was like, you've got this great product, you've got this incredible talent, and you can tell how good it is because, you know...
Yeah.
WWE keeps stealing it. I think more so that, I mean, I think they've realized, like, you know, that's there's a subtle movement there going, like, Vince is just he's getting these guys who aren't selling tickets, and then they don't know how to promote them even if they did. I'm going to say if they'd have known what they were doing, Roman Reigns would be the biggest star in wrestling at the moment. Instead, he's a mid card guy who is basically Seth Rollins' big buddy, which is what he was in the Shield.
Exactly. And I will say SmackDown has been...
Oh, yeah.
For, if anything, Mauro Ranallo is my favorite commentator of the modern era.
Yeah.
This guy, no matter who you put him with, he still can get decent commentary.
You know, I gotta say, I think,
although putting him with three other commentators
why are they doing that? When you got more people on commentary than you got in the ring, you don't need that. Hey, I've seen tag bouts where there's been more people in the ring.
Yeah, I'm getting worried with that four-man commentary team. Are they trying to phase Mauro out?
I hope not, because he's the best thing they've got.
Because they didn't start until they went live and Vince and Dunn were in the guy's ears.
Well, we'll get on to best commentator later, but worst show.
Worst show? Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. 3 hours. Did these people not learn from WCW? Right? The occasional 3 hour show is fine, but in 1998, once they went 3 hours, didn't less than 3 years later, the company wound up going under?
Yeah. I gotta say, for me, I think the top show, the top wrestling in ring action show, I think is still NXT. I think SmackDown's really close at the moment. Yeah. I think Ring of Honor's really close at the moment, but I think NXT, it lost so much of its talent.
That is the exact reason why I didn't put it.
But, that's the thing. It started, so you go through this doldrums period at the beginning of the year. It's like, well, what are you guys doing? You have the new Cruiserweight Classic. You've got the Tag Team Classic. You've got all these people coming through. And suddenly you've got this next wave of really superb talent. I will go into it later exactly why I think it's still the best show. I think it's just, it's the fact that it lost basically its top tier talent and rebounded so strongly. So at the end of the year, it's one of the best things around.
And not even just with the top guys, like the stars, like Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, even your undercard is like
Ty Dillinger is an NXT main event talent now, and they couldn't do it a year ago. And they sat there and went, this guy has everything. He has it. He is a charisma machine. You let him fly. His promos are there. They realize there's some guys there who aren't going to make it, which is why the Drifter is Elias Samson. They were like, this isn't going to work. I think we'll see Elias Samson back with a new gimmick in about a year's time. But yeah, NXT for me is still the best thing.
Oh, God. And honestly, a friend of mine, I never agreed more. He said, if at the Royal Rumble, how they usually will have one or two NXT talent, if they don't have Ty Dillinger come out at number 10,
they're idiots.
They are complete idiots.
They are complete idiots, but at a different point. And I've got to say, the worst thing is Raw.
Yeah.
Raw is... Sorry.
It is a chore.
Well, particularly if you've got... What were we on this year? 19 pay-per-views? 28 pay-per-views?
Too many pay-per-views per year.
Every single one of them, bar WrestleMania and SummerSlam, was shorter than the average Raw. Why would you do that? I mean, yes, you make people more invested in the pay-per-views because it's easier to get through. Yes. But then you're coming in and people don't really know what the feuds are, because who the hell has three and a half hours a week every week to invest in an extremely mediocre show when the first hour of it is going to be promos?
And Stephanie McMahon talking down the talent, making them look like complete and utter tools. I mean, the authority angle, 19 years in, and it's time to give it a rest.
Wouldn't it be nice to have them be, and which they're trying to do to a certain degree, but Shane's still not around enough, but to have, a baby face.
Yeah, and that's why another reason SmackDown's more palatable, it's Shane and Daniel Bryan. Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon they're supposed to be on the same page, but they don't appear to be on the same page.
But then that's not a... Well, that's because Stephanie's so badly plotted. I mean, where she comes out and goes, there's going to be consequences for Kevin Owens for what he did, and then they go, nah, it's going to be a party. And it didn't even feel like a bait and switch, it just felt like she was schizophrenic.
And the fact that when Vince was in charge as the head authority figure, he would show his ass. The superstars would get payback against him. Triple H and Stephanie, there's no comeuppance against them.
I honestly can't tell if they're heels or faces. I don't think they know. I think they've forgotten. I think the problem, part of the problem, well, I mean, the good thing is
breaking of kayfabe constantly.
Time and time again. Raw's just not coherent. Yeah, and I think the biggest victim of that has been Kevin Owens.
Oh, yes.
Kevin Owens, who's been turned into... I mean, this is a... Yeah, let's be honest. He's a fat killer who doesn't care what you think of him. That's what Kevin Owens needs to be. You come out he comes out, you boo him. He doesn't care. He's like, I got the belt. Or I'm going to have the belt. Yeah. Or I'm just not going to perform. I mean, he still loved his Ring of Honor promo when he came out. And basically went, yeah, I really haven't been trying for the last 6 months. Sorry, you know, probably should have. And that was his definition of a face turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole thing with Chris Jericho. Hey, I mean, I love Jericho. I do. I think he's great. Chris Jericho does not need to be put in the position he's in with holding belts, being a major part of main event feuds. When you've got all this talent underneath that they're like, well, we can't get them over. Well, of course not, because you're putting them up against a guy who cannot perform at the same speed as he used to. Doesn't want to. Comes back, going to do 6 months at a time, then going to disappear, and you know as soon as Fozzy announces dates, he's not going to be there. You're like, well, you're not doing anything to build him up, because he always just goes, I'm off, bye.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it make sense to have somebody come out and kill him? You know, just absolutely destroy him. And this whole bait and switch thing with him and Owens, and are they friends? Like, wasn't the whole point with Kevin Owens when he came to NXT? He murdered his best friend. But, I mean, he's so badly plotted, like, they even had the huge blow-off. It's like, you're never going to see him and Sami Zayn in the ring again.
Oh, God. And then, what, 3 weeks later?
Haven't they had, like, six matches since then? So, screw you guys.
That was part...
Screw you guys.
Why didn't Cesaro and Sami Zayn go to SmackDown? That show was tailor-made for those two.
They should both be on SmackDown. That leads me to my next best and worst. Best and worst... Tag teams.
Best?
Yep.
The Revival. They are the best tag team on the face of this planet right now.
They're my number two.
Ah.
They are my number two. This is a really hard one because I think we're in a really great age for tag teams. You know, even when you got somebody dopey like the Hype Bros, I love the Hype Bros. I don't care what anybody says. I'm really sad that Zach's out with injuries for six months.
Sucks.
My number one, because, like I said, Revival, my number two, my number one, Gargano and Ciampa.
Yes.
I have loved their arc so much, because the thing is, you established the Revival last year. If you haven't known who my top tag team was last year, I would say the Revival, no shadow of a doubt. I think Gargano and Ciampa, this year, everything locked. You have these two guys who are the absolute underdogs, they're the kind of people who, they're not even supposed to work in NXT, which is the Island of Misfit Toys for wrestlers. And they come in, and they have this beautiful feud. There's nothing like it.
That was the best tag feud of this year.
Getting ahead of yourself. Oh. But they're so good together. They're so good, and you have them in a perfect match against everybody else. Now that the way they've been booked, and having the tension between them in the tag team classic.
And the Cruiserweight classic, rather. That was
probably
the best match of the Cruiserweight classic.
Yeah. I think they're just so damn good. Like, why do you even want to look at anybody else at the moment? You know, because the crowd is so invested in them, which is why them working with the Revival is so perfect. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
The Revival heel 101.
Yeah.
Heel tag team.
Worst tag team. That's a bit tougher this year, because we are in a good era.
The problem is there are so many good ones that are being handled poorly.
Yeah, that's the difference. Oh, I'm going to put an honorary mention in for War Machine, by the way, in Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Not least because Ray Rowe's great. Ray Rowe's really nice.
Agreed.
He's such a sweetheart, and yet he is one of the scariest fucking human beings I've ever met in my life. Yeah. Very intense.
Exactly. The worst, man, there's... Gosh. I don't want to say the club. I don't want to say the club because... They were great up until WWE started.
Well, that's bad booking. That's bad booking. We'll come to bad booking later. But yeah, you know, I gotta say,
it's hard for me.
New Day. New Day.
New Day.
Because when you got to the point where you knew that they were just spinning their wheels. And again, this is to a certain degree booking. But even they clearly were like...
spinning their wheels to hold the tag belts.
The
just
whole
to break
old
them.
Day thing yeah. was hideous. Just hideous. Actually, I am... No, I'm not going to go past New Day. I'm going to go a little bit of backwards reference there. The worst tag team... Owens and Jericho, because they never fucking tag, and they're clearly a tag team. Like, isn't the obvious thing at this point, put the belts on them?
You would think.
Like, you know, I mean, I know they wanted to get, they wanted another reason to get Sheamus over, fine, whatever you want to do.
Oh, that was one of my top worst of this year. Even though Cesaro and Sheamus, they're good, it's just, I would give them most forced tag team. Honestly, Cesaro wanted to go to SmackDown. They made him stay on Raw to help get Sheamus back over again.
Yeah, because that's energy well spent. Egypts.
Complete Egypts.
Okay, so you mentioned this. Best and worst tag team feud.
Best tag team feud, DIY versus The Revival.
Yes.
They put on so many classics over the course of the 6 months that they were feuding.
I think my favorite was the best of three.
Yeah, the Toronto.
Two out of three falls. That yes. was just so beautiful. The payoff was brilliant. So perfect. Yeah, you know, it reminded you, because they're clearly pushing Gargano a little harder. I think they've got
he's the Ricky Morton of this group.
He's clearly the one they look at. But the moment where they remembered, it's the Sicilian Assassin. Ciampa yeah. is a scary, scary man.
But the best spot in that match, oh my god, where Johnny Wrestling about to kick Dawson's head off, uses the tag title belt to block it, injures his shin, sells it like a pro for the rest of the match. I've never seen such sympathy in, 10 years, 15 years? No.
Yeah, he brilliant. Yeah, the last time I think people believed somebody had shattered their leg so badly was Sid Vicious jumping off the rope.
Oh,
involuntary cringe.
I can't even watch that on YouTube.
Yeah, that was just nothing quite as bad. Yeah. It's hard to say worst tag team in a lot of ways, worst tag team angle rather in a lot of ways, because, there's been so much lousy booking. I am going to give an honorary mention to New Day versus the Club.
The Club, yes.
Because way to bury two of the scariest people on the planet.
And how many times did they fight? Like 45 times?
Did they tell Carl Anderson, go out there and don't put up any offense at all?
Because they want the big guy to get over.
So dumb.
What is up with WWE's the small guy always has to take the loss?
I don't know. And it's not like Carl's small. You know, I don't get why they're mishandling the Club so badly. But I have to say, I think the worst feud has been, was Authors of Pain's initial push over everybody.
They were not ready.
They almost killed at least two people in the ring. The only good thing that came out of that at the end of the day was that people suddenly realized that TM61 are really good. I think it was like, why aren't you pushing these guys harder? Because they finally got the personality across, which they've been struggling with for a while. I think they're going to be a good contender for top. If DIY don't drop the belts to them, I don't know who they're going to drop the belts to at this point. It doesn't need to be Authors of Pain because they need retooling and fast.
Yeah, another one that really didn't fire on all cylinders for me: Young Bucks and The Addiction. Like, they both have heel tendencies, so it's... Who's the babyface?
Well, that's particularly because, The Addiction are so good. I gotta say, there's nothing wrong with those guys at all.
The Young Bucks are an acquired taste. I like them when I like them. I dislike them when I dislike them.
Yeah.
I go through phases when it comes to them, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a... I think they know that they've got problems with the Bullet Club at the moment, which is why they've...
Another company that's been depleted of talent. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, but made one of the best acquisitions of the year. I think that's... But yeah, let's talk about best...
Or, well, when you did best tag feud, let's do best singles feud.
Oh, God, that's a tough one.
It's I know everyone's gonna say, like, Nakamura Joe, Asuka Bailey. There are several good ones. I'm gonna go with Adam Cole, Jay Lethal for the ROH title.
Yep.
I've never liked hair matches that were not a stipulation match.
Yeah.
I don't like when someone loses hair at just random part of an angle. That put Adam Cole over the moon.
Yeah.
What he did to Jay Lethal, shaving his head.
Yeah.
And for weeks, Lethal, just the anger that was building in him when they finally had their brawl. God, it was a fight.
Yeah.
It was a fight. ROH hadn't had a nasty, no, like, bare-knuckle fight like that in a really long time.
No. For me, I've got to go with Joe Nakamura.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so strong.
Visceral.
It's so
visceral.
It's two tough guys who will beat the piss out of each other for months.
It's like
come back.
They treat it like a shoot. And yeah. It's kind of like how Angle and Joe's early feud in TNA, when Russo had nothing to do with it, when they treated it like a fight. No stupid, silly angles. They just interviews with each of the guys, talking about their history, talking about their backgrounds. They treated it like an MMA fight.
Yeah.
And that's how Joe Nakamura, I could easily give it to
them. I think
well.
It was particularly because we had the payoff recently with the steel cage match, which was like, that's what you do. That's how you finish it off. It's two guys, nobody interfering, and the fact that Nakamura has the door open, and he's like, no. This only finishes it if I destroy this guy. Because what happened previously is that I beat him, and he comes back next week and just hits me in the head. I have to send a lesson to him that you come after me, all that happens is you get a Kinshasa in the head over and over again, and you need to stop even trying, because I will kill you eventually. This isn't going to end until one of us is in the grave.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the steel cage match is like, that's the door closed. Which is what steel cage match is
supposed to be.
I mean, like, we've gone through this period where people were like, oh, there's back and forth.
Put it in the cage is now the new
cage in the match.
Is now put it on a pole.
Yeah.
It's the new
worst feud. Should I go first?
There's so many.
I got an obvious one because the thing is, problem with a feud is not necessarily you put two people who can't work together there because there's so many people who can't work together, but they can make the best of a mess. You know, but for me, the worst one, because it had such a pivotally shitty bit of booking mentality underneath.
I think I know where you're going.
Oh, do you?
Go ahead.
What do you think I'm going to say?
Which is almost at the top for me, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose.
No.
Really?
No, not that.
Okay.
Charlotte, Sasha. For one reason.
Dragged on too long?
Nope, not even that it dragged on too long.
Ping-ponging the title back and forth?
I could even handle the ping-ponging. I don't have a problem with the ping-ponging. Like, if you do it right and you do it occasionally, it's not like the old days where it was just flying around and people were trying to build up the number of title rooms. It was the fact that Sasha won on TV and Charlotte won on pay-per-view. So when they have the blow-off match, you go, well, Charlotte's going to retain. What? Who cares? And they're not smart enough to do a bait and switch on that. Yeah. You were just like, you could set your watch by it. So when you remove the purpose, plus they had a couple of matches where like something went wrong.
Sasha constantly ragdolling herself, or her and Enzo Amore are going to get themselves killed in the ring by their ragdolling.
I know that she's apparently supposed to be putting some more muscle on so she can absorb a little bit more of that, which will hopefully also slow her down a little bit. Enzo, you know, I would have thought Enzo trying to kill himself on the bottom rope that time.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Border Builders are still paying the consequences for that. It was like, Enzo, you were in the wrong place. Gotch was in the wrong place. You're both responsible for this.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to throw an honorary mention in for worst feud, because it's not doing what you think it's doing, for Rusev versus Enzo, purely because, yet again, it's Rusev. Booked as a baby face.
As a freaking baby face.
He is the biggest baby face on the roster. It's like, yeah, you turned up naked in front of my wife. Yeah, they were kind of asshole-y with the entire... By the way, when you were watching that episode of Raw, because that was actually shot in Austin, were you looking at the carpets in the hallway at the hotel and going, which hotel's that?
I kind of was.
Because I think it was the Radisson. I'm not sure.
You may be right.
Fairly sure it was the Radisson. Right. It looked like the Radisson. I was like, it looks familiar.
It kind of looked like the Four Seasons. I've only been there once. That was the Four Seasons. So I don't remember.
No, not the carpet. The carpet in the Four Seasons is nicer. My first thought was Four Seasons, but no, I'm pretty sure it was the Radisson.
Okay.
Hey, it's on the end zone, Rusev. Yeah. it's like, congratulations on continually getting your heel over as a babyface.
But, yeah, Ambrose and Styles has been mine, because the treatment of both guys, like, Ambrose just... I remember when I said when he was champ, he works better in the hunt than as the champ. Even in the hunt, in this feud, he's coming across as, like, a third wheel or unnecessary cog, and Ambrose just be... Or Styles, just because he doesn't feel like best in the world when he's lost multiple matches to a jobber.
Yeah.
To a jobber. AJ Styles losing to a jobber makes me nauseous.
Yeah. In carry on. Okay, let's go on to...
best storyline?
Yeah, best storyline.
Yes!
Oh my god.
The broken brilliance of Matt Hardy. Being unlocked and us entering his universe.
I spent a while, like everybody else, trying to work out what the hell this was all about. And then it was actually Brian Alvarez over at Wrestling Observer who worked out what the hell was happening. Which is kind of simple. It's like, Matt Hardy has lost his goddamn mind.
Yes.
And thinks he's a supervillain.
Yes.
Which is why he's acting like this. It's like, he's acting...
He's a 12-year-old!
He's acting... You know, and that was the other thing Brad Alvarez says. Like, every time anything happened, he goes, this must be documented. He said,
the ultimate backyard wrestler, because look how hard he started off!
Yeah, this is basic. You know what? They have turned TNA into...
A backyard
into
promotion.
Omega.
Yes!
The fact that in the latest one, you even had Hurricane Helms turning... Nothing has been as insane this year. It's been... I swear to God, I watched the original Final Deletion, and I was like, what? This is insane and awesome. And the fact that at one point you had Jeff go, what is wrong with you? Was my favourite line delivery of the year. Because it really was just exasperated. It's like, I pretend I'm a Will-O-The-Wisp. What is wrong with you, Matt?
The broken Matt Hardy saga got my girlfriend to watch something besides WWE. She watches a WWE sparingly now, but she watches TNA faithfully.
Oh my god, it's
like, and for some reason that got her started watching New Japan, ROH, Lucha Underground, but TNA was the gateway because of Broken Brilliance.
There's nothing about it that should work.
It should,
but I think it comes and goes.
Failed miserably, but all the stars were in alignment.
Yeah, so perfect. Worst storyline. Tuffy, I know, because it's been a year of it. It's been. I'm just gonna say anything that involves placing people in a holding pattern just because you don't have anything better for them. And I think this has been the worst year ever for that. Oh no, I
know that affected multiple companies.
I know what it is. I got my worst storyline. Miz versus Ziggler, because all that's happened is you've made Ziggler look like more of a
loser. More of a loser.
So, I mean, you can't... I don't know when they can ever put the belt on him. It's going to be 3-4 years before they can... unless they do something really spectacular with him. He needs a massive heel turn, and they won't pull the trigger on that.
Which is weird. I thought for sure at the end of the Miz feud, that was it. Once Ziggler lost that belt, that was going to be it.
Yeah.
And it seems holding
pattern. Because he's such a good heel.
He is.
He can never be a white bread babyface. He's just not that kind of guy. He's too snarky and sardonic.
Yeah.
They have too many snarky and sardonic guys on there. So why not just go right ahead and turn him heel? Just do it. Nothing wrong with that. Well overdue.
Heel Ziggler versus babyface Ambrose, I think, could work. I don't know. Me? Anything involving Sexy Star in Lucha Underground. Good God. She is the new Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
the company has not learned. She is not over.
No.
Listen to the crowd during her matches.
No.
What? Look at the ratings during her segments.
No one cares.
People are tuning out. She is horrible. She's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And they will not stop pushing her.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So many women that are better than her on the roster. So many.
And that's the best trend of the year. Because I think shitty hold pattern booking has been the worst trend of the year. Best trend of the year is the realization after the end of the Divas Revolution that there is an endless talent supply of really, really good women wrestlers out there. I think Ring of Honor did it really smartly with Women of Honor.
Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo looked better in that than anything she's done at NXT.
Yeah, they make her look like a chunk in NXT. Yeah. And in fact, Women of Honor has actually provided me with my favorite women's wrestler. I know people are going to find this one controversial, but when you look at the whole package, gimmick, moveset, how they put the move everything together, I'm going to go with Taylor Hendricks. I'm going with Taylor.
You know, I can't argue it.
Embrace the villain. I think she went back and she looked at when Jay Lethal came to Ring of Honor and went, I have to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
I have to be legitimately like you buy me as not, a Randy Savage knockoff anymore. I lose all that stuff. I come in, I am mean. And she was his valet at that point as well. Yeah. So like, I think she looked at that and said, that's how you do this.
She made it
work. And you make everything work. And I know there's some people that really heavily disagree with me because she's not, from a technical point of view, the best wrestler out there. But I think you want to look at everything that she's done
Total
and the fact
package.
That she has gone, she's really smartly gone, Ring of Honor is going to be pushing the Women of Honor thing really, really hard.
Yes.
I can be one of the lead faces in this. One of the people you build this upon. Because, I don't know, is there a better female promo cutter out there at the moment? I can't think of one. She can work in the ring.
So we're at favorite female wrestler.
Yeah, favorite female. I'm going to go with her.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Taylor. I love Sasha. I love Bayley, although I really mishandled Bayley. But I've got to go with Sasha.
They're mishandling.
I've got to go with Taylor.
For me, it's going to be a three-way tie.
Yep.
First, Ember Moon.
Oh.
Just because the waves she's made in the indies and the impact she's already had in NXT just getting there, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
She's going to be a megastar.
Oh, yeah.
Megastar.
That's why I didn't do it quite yet, because I know how much more potential she's got. And they're holding her back a little bit. They're putting her in angles. They're having other people work off. There are people, I mean, I know she's at the Performance Center now, but there's probably people learning stuff off there.
Yeah.
People are starting to take, I can't remember what they're calling the O-face these days.
I forgot the name they changed her move to.
Yeah, her top rope stunner.
That flipping stunner.
Oh, my God. But other people are starting to do that move now because they're working out how she does it. But nobody does it
like her.
With the level. You look at that and just go, she just killed that person.
Yeah. Number two, just because no matter how badly some of her scripted promos are, and it's not fault of hers, it's scripted promos, or weird booking. Charlotte, she is one of the top heels, not just in the women's division, but in WWE, period. They treat her with authority.
Yeah.
The same way they should treat AJ Styles or Kevin Owens, the other two big champs, which I don't feel they get the respect they deserve. She does. So I have to give her that nod. And Asuka.
Yeah.
They booked her like Goldberg.
Those three, it's just that I think for what she's achieved this year, I think that just Taylor's just achieved something really remarkable this year.
She's gone from being
charming, goofy face when she first started, which was like, there's 10,000 of you, to memorable.
Yeah.
And
the hardest 180 to success ever.
Yeah. And I think Jay Lethal, showed her how to do that, and she's.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people have tried to emulate what Jay Lethal does, and they haven't pulled it off. she has sure as hell pulled it off. I think she's just done something really, really special this year. And I think people will look back and go, yeah, you won't be able to write the history of Women of Honor without talking in big terms about Terry. Exactly.
All right, top male star.
Oh, God, this is a tough one this year.
Very tough.
Because there's so many really... I
want to say AJ Styles, just because of the big splash he made when he arrived.
Yeah.
The success of his year with beating John Cena twice, what, two times or three times?
I would say two, but I could be wrong.
And I don't know, man. The lighter part of 2016 was not good to him booking-wise.
It wasn't good to anybody booking-wise.
I want
to
say...
I think the thing is they're already looking at what they're going to do for WrestleMania, and that's 6 months away, and you can't do that. They spent 3 months doing in a holding pattern set up the three-month roadblock, which was the most ignorable pay-per-view of all time.
I want to say Tetsuya Naito in New Japan. I want to say Jay Lethal just for... I may have to give it to Jay Lethal just because of that, the length of that title reign.
Yeah.
Dude, that is a champion. He is a champion of champions.
Oh, yeah.
I may have to give it to Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
For...
Jay is a really, really strong contender on that. Yeah. I mean, I haven't caught all of his run because I'm, certainly so many hours of the day, goddammit. But he's been, he just has been phenomenal. For years. This guy who,
held the belt over a year.
Tried to just be a, affable baby face, and then they had him in that goofy gimmick in TNA, and it's like, he's also proved that you can become a world class American talent without going to WWE.
Exactly.
I
almost gave it to EC3. He is becoming. When I mean this in a completely positive way, the John Cena of TNA. He is their marketable babyface.
Yeah.
That they can...
Which, considering he could barely work when he first started.
Exactly. Really, he's gotten so much better in the ring. Promos are top-notch. He can do all of your marketing, your PR stuff. He's the go-to guy.
For me, I gotta say, it's Nakamura. I know that Nakamura in NXT has not been,
what we expect.
New Japan Nakamura.
Yeah.
But A, for him to acclimate so quickly
to American style.
To have a guy with, let's be honest, very limited English skills go out there and have promos you want to listen to.
He doesn't kill himself in the ring. He does just enough to put on that 4-star or better match. Every night.
Every single match that he does.
Without doing unnecessary stuff.
Yeah. Just every single feud, right through, every single bout, has been... You looked at it and gone, well, that's a match of the year contender. That's a match of the year contender. The only one of his matches with Joe, which I would put below 4 stars, was the one where he reclaimed in Osaka.
Yeah.
But they were clearly both horribly jet-lagged. And even then, that was a good 3.5, 3.75 match.
So many matches this year I've seen, either in Europe or in Asia, where you could see the guys were out of it just because of the jet lag or time difference.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible, particularly Japan. Japan just, like, is... You get off the train, you get off the plane, and you're like, where am I and why? But no, everything he's done this year has just been top notch. And he's only getting better. Because he has a brilliant mind for what the WWE wants. He can go to any promotion and give them exactly what they need. Yeah. And there's almost nobody can do that anymore. Everybody needs to refit the product around them. He fills the space that they're given.
And does it when they call him up, it's going to be big. It's going to be very big.
Okay, I've got it. Let's go with most underused or / wasted talent.
I want to say Matanza and Lucha Underground.
Oh, good one. I think basically the entire Lucha Underground roster, because at this point you're going, like, you guys all should be somewhere doing something better.
even Johnny Mundo with the championship, he still feels like he's not being utilized to his fullest potential. Dragon Azteca, just like take your pick. TNA has a few. I feel like Eli Drake.
Yeah.
His mic skills, man, he really should be getting the mega push. Sienna in TNA.
King Maxwell.
Oh, man. But my mind, it keeps going back to WWE when it comes to underutilized.
Who are you going with? Because I got a Monday night contender.
Raw? I have a few on SmackDown. A few. Ziggler.
Yeah, but at least he's getting TV time. My number one for most underutilized talent, Sami Zayn.
Yes!
What the hell are they thinking? You have a guy that they are... He's less over now than when he debuted. How do you do that with Sami Zayn? I literally no idea how you do that. And when they've literally got nothing to do with somebody, they go, put him with Sami Zayn. It's like, oh, suddenly you've remembered he's good.
Used to do with Jericho.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do with him.
And at some point they're going to realize and they're going to go, okay, yeah, people like him. And then they're going to have to... I remember when Jericho took the Unified Belt. Nobody thought Jericho was working out of there with that belt. You have to do something at that scale. You've got to have him go in there as basically the jobber and be the guy that is like tougher than the two top talents.
What if he does go to SmackDown and he's the one to knock off AJ Styles? Mm. That's
the only thing to do with it now.
I'll have to go with
him. I'm wondering whether they're going to tease that he's going to be able to stay and then Strowman kills him. He takes a few weeks off and then comes to SmackDown. And just annihilates Styles in a series of matches. Fingers crossed. Okay, we've got to kind of wrap up. Because, 2017 is almost upon us. Who are you looking at as the people to really... Make an impact next year.
Okay. I'm going to name one in each company.
Yep.
Of the major companies. For New Japan, I think everyone's saying Okada will never come to the States. I think he kind of didn't falter this year. It's just that the focus was elsewhere. I think he's going to have one of his best runs ever.
Yeah.
And I think by the end of 2017, WWE may make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the total package. He has such a unique look, gimmick.
And he's only, 26?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 27? 27, maybe?
Maybe 27.
The guy's over as over can be. He's done just about everything you can do in that company. He won't go to TNA. Which is the other, I guess, major company. ROH, he's performed there so many times. WWE is his next stop. So, Kazuchika Okada for New Japan. Ring of Honor, Dalton Castle.
Oh, my God.
This guy is...
Dalton Castle and the boys.
Yes. The gimmick is so over that it's not even funny. I see him as a world title contender. Maybe not champ, but world title contender.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be.
In 2017. TNA.
Well, let's give the code of like if TNA still exists in 6 months' time, that's the problem.
Yeah, if it's still around, I don't know what his schedule's going to be like. Cody Rhodes, if he's still doing stuff with TNA,
I think he. I think that was a one and out. Okay. I think that was a short run.
Okay, because I easily saw him. Maybe Aaron Rex, they may give him the huge, put the rocket pack on him and rocket him to the moon, but I can see him getting a really big push. And also, Mandrews, it seems like they're about to start something big. If anything, X Division-wise,
yeah,
finally showing what he is capable of, anyone who's watched his matches in the UK knows what he's capable of.
Yeah.
WWE. Oh, I'm sorry. Lucha Underground. I could see them giving a monster push to Dragon Azteca.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, I don't know if he's going to be there for all of next season.
Rey's job is to turn up, deliver a 619, get a pop, and then let the other guy...
And help get someone over.
He's so jacked.
His promos are actually really... Some of his backstage segments have been the best.
I wonder whether they're going to put him into more of a managerial role.
Possibly.
Yeah, he's a manager. Like how they do with Conan. But he's getting to that point where he needs to not be... Yeah, putting himself in risk.
Exactly.
And getting in a wheelchair.
WWE. Samoa Joe. I see them bringing him up to the main roster around possibly at the Rumble. SmackDown, highly likely. They need help on SmackDown. And him running roughshod over almost the entire men's division.
And they'll be fun because look at him, you go, everybody there, I'd like to see in a match because I think he's going to bring out the best in people. I really want to see him versus Ambrose because I think Ambrose is going to go, oh, somebody who likes to play as rough as I used to. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
And the first Raw versus SmackDown match of 2017 may be Samoa Joe versus Lesnar.
Ooh, that'd be good. I'd like that.
SummerSlam match, I'm calling it now.
That'd be good. I gotta say, I think Bayley. I think this is gonna be Bayley's year on the main roster.
Yeah,
because they're finally they're taken out of this stupid holding pattern, and I think that's gonna revive her. She has to take the belt from Charlotte, and then you drop her into a feud with Sasha because those two work so well together. Yeah. So I think this is her year.
Sasha needs a heel turn.
Oh yeah, desperately. Let me think. Who else? Keith Lee.
I can see that.
Keith Lee. Because I ring announce with Inspire Pro Wrestling. He is the pure prestige champ over there. And you watch Keith in the ring. Holy hell. That guy is unbelievable. I mean, he's... I can't remember exactly. I think he's like 330.
Yeah.
He's tall. You know.
He can work.
But he is fast. His cardio is unreal. He can work a 30-minute match and barely break a sweat. He does top rope stuff. This guy is 330. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit Bomb is the best power bomb since Taker could still pull off the last ride.
Yeah.
The best elevated one since Taker could still pull off the last ride. His promo skills are peerless. The whole basketball... this year, he dropped some of the goofier aspects of his personality, like some of his, I'm playing in the fun indie side, and he's really, tightened up on that, the whole bask in my glory thing. Yeah. So good. So I'm saying Keith Lee is a guy to absolutely 100% keep an eye on. Initially, he's going to be Ring of Honor's tag division, but I think he's going places. I think you're absolutely right on Dalton Castle. No doubt about it. And I gotta say, I think Cody Rhodes in New Japan.
Okay.
I think this can be because I think Cody, he's gonna knock Kenny Omega off as the head of Bullet Club. It's pretty inevitable.
It needs to happen.
He is, because the cleaner works better. But the cleaner works better as the cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works better as the guy who's coming in and doing shit. He's not.
The leader,
But Cody Rhodes as the American Nightmare, I think is absolutely what they need. And I think he's going to be...
He was going to be my next choice. It's just Okada, I feel.
And I got to say, because he's the name on the lips of every booker, but not necessarily every viewer yet. But I think Will Ospreay this year is really going to break out. Because I think Will has gone, okay. And he said very publicly, it's like, I got to calm down a bit because I'm going to kill myself doing this shit. I'm 26 and I feel like crap. But he is... Yeah, the fact that the WWE went through all the effort of setting up the Cruiserweight division to get Will Ospreay and then couldn't because of his contract situations, that tells you how good this guy is. And I think, the fact he's working in the UK, that he's so over in the UK, the only place he's not really as over yet is actually the US, and that's because he's not really that interested in working with the American promotions yet. But when is it 2 years he's new with New Japan? I think it's a 2-year contract he's got.
I believe so.
When that 2 years is up, he will be over in the WWE, and he will, I want to see him versus Austin Aries. I want to see that match because there's two guys with
that's
such
a match of the year contender.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be the year where Will goes from the one this just phenomenal spot machine to just being the guy. I think he's going to be the man. I think he's going to be the next Shawn Michaels. I honestly say that. Which isn't necessarily... The thing is, people say, oh, Shawn Michaels was like, yeah, Shawn Michaels actually look and like, he did really well, but he has really memorable moments. It's kind of that WWE revisionism.
Yeah.
It's like the two people that they have made to look like more than they ever were, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
Yes.
And there's this whole coterie of people who Flair drew money with, but... You got this question of, like, who drew the money? But and I think in part it's just because, you know, Vincent Tripp's love.
Dude, Triple H is the king of...
Oh, he
I'm a draw. No, you work with the guys who draw all the time.
Yeah, and you get great matches out of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, but I really think that Will Ospreay has all the potential that anybody is going to need. And I also think Asuka's going to have another great year. I think this is, when they bring her up to the main roster... Because she is charisma on a stick. She's so good. They need to bring her up now. Because let's be honest, she's 36, I think. So she's got a few years left
in the
tank.
They have too many people in NXT that are really kind of up there in age that they need to get up to the main roster ASAP.
My suspicion is that they're going to bring them all up for the Rumble.
It's just because they do so many road shows now, they don't want to completely deplete stars from the roster.
But I really think that they're going to be... I actually suspect we may have an NXT invasion angle at the Rumble this year.
Possibly.
That would make sense because, you know, you've got Rude, you've got Nakamura, you've got
I don't think Rude is going up to the main roster. I think he's going to be their next champion.
Oh, he's going
to
be the next champion.
The torch from Nakamura to Rude and then Nakamura...
But you can have Rude come in the Royal Rumble.
And
in fact, it makes a lot of sense if you want to put more eyes on NXT, have the NXT champ, who at that point should be Rude, come in and go, yeah, I'm here on a Monday night.
Exactly.
Because, let's face facts, he is glorious. Okay, well, I think we've covered the horror that was 2016, and it didn't take us 6 hours, including 2 hours queuing outside of the Cowboys Dome. Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in. We will be back far more regularly in 2017.
That is a promise.
Because we're bad people. We're not that bad. And indeed, as we always end this, ding ding.
Good night.